Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now let's get to the Origin preview. Tedesco v Walsh. So we're basically going to go through positions, matchups, look at their stats. You know, stats aren't everything, guys, so we're not going to, you know, hang everything on the stats. But just give a kind of a broad bird's eye view of how they're going this year and then match them up. Tedesco versus Walsh. Tedesco, 10 games, 3 tries, 4 try assists, 50 tackle breaks, 6 line breaks, averaging 170 metres. Walsh. 11 games, 4 tries, 13 try assists, 61 tackle breaks, 8 line breaks, 152 average metres. You could argue that Roosters haven't been going as well this year, but I mean, I guess it's pretty clear, at least statistically, Walsh has probably been the best fullback in the comp this year so far, form-wise.
I know it's not fair to do so, but I mean, if you were to just take out the try assist, though, considering how poor it feels like Tedesco's gone so far this year, pretty close outside of that, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't have expected Teddy to be in the same realm as Walsh as far as tackle breaks, line breaks, all those sort of things. So I can't believe the amount of New South Wales people that are questioning Teddy's selection.
It is. What? Is that actually a thing?
It's a small minority. It's a loud minority, to be fair, but I can't even fathom how you could possibly consider ever leaving Teddy out of a side or even questioning his spot in the side.
That's crazy talk.
Come back from an injury last week, I would still pick Teddy without
100. He has been seriously one of the most consistent Origin players of all time.
Yes.
Of all time. You know, he's up there with any player in regards to consistency outside of, you know, obviously that Queensland great run, but that was, you're talking about like an anomaly. Yeah. Like, tell me a New South Welshman ever that's been as consistent as Teddy has been at Origin.
I mean, like, me and Matty were talking on Friday. We were watching him just addressing the team and just how, like, everyone felt silent as soon as Teddy started to talk. And we're just saying, geez, wasn't that long ago he was a flashy fullback out of the West Tigers who was injury prone? And now he's the Australian captain, the New South Wales captain. Like, his journey has been incredible, Teddy.
Oh, it's been amazing. Like, seriously amazing. Now, what I love about these two as a matchup is, does that surprise you at all, Timmy? The fact that Reece Walsh is...
I actually thought the stats would be far more skewed towards Walsh. You look at all those numbers, the try assist is the one that stands out like dog's nuts. 4 try assists for Teddy, Walsh 13.
Mm.
Outside of that, with Teddy playing a game less, they're all pretty similar, and then you add in an extra 18 metres per game for Teddy. So Teddy having seemingly had a terrible year by his standards and Walsh being, as you said, arguably the form fullback in the NRL, I thought there would have been a bigger difference in the stats.
Especially when you get, like, to me, I feel like Reece Walsh hasn't been out of position in 11 weeks. I feel like Teddy hasn't been in position for 10 weeks. So for it to be as close as it is, I'm surprised.
Shows you how good Teddy is.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
like,
the
people
point.
Are calling for his head, and his stats aren't that much worse. Like, obviously, the try assist one is something that stands out quite a bit, but they're not like that much worse than the guy that everyone is just raving over.
Yeah.
Now, what is most interesting about this matchup is they couldn't be more different as players. They couldn't be more different. You'd say Tedesco more about the contact, getting, you know, hit ups, a lot of meters. Whereas obviously Walsh, even though he has a lot of tackle breaks, it's usually because of footwork and speed rather than physicality and strength. Where do you think the game you're going to... Where do you think the game is, I guess, going to be won for Tedesco and Walsh?
Well, I think Teddy, you know, just the work he does through the middle, it's just about unmatched in rugby league, and it might not always be reflected in stats and whatnot, but what Teddy brings to a footy side is just an incredible player. Reece Walsh, though, I'm so interested to see how he goes in the Origin arena. I know that when he was at the Warriors, a lot of people went after him, a lot of people bagged him. I think you and me especially have always been so high on Reece Walsh. The thing I've always loved about him is that he's just... He could make 10 mistakes. He's not afraid to make the 11th. Mm. He just goes after the game. And that's, I think that's the mindset you need in the Origin arena. You even have a look over the last few weeks in the games they've lost. Like, there was, you know, he tried to do a one-on-one strip a couple of weeks ago. They got penalised. But his mindset isn't, oh, get down there, lead the kick chase, make this tackle. It's, fuck it, how can I win this game of football now?
Yeah.
There was a couple of weeks later where, you know, he'd made a tackle that was over the try line. I've never seen anyone else do it. He dragged the player into the in-goals to make it look like he was in the process of scoring to try and get the ball out. Penalty, once again, didn't go his way. But I love that mindset that Reece Walsh has. There was a game, I think it was actually against the Broncos last year, Kempe, where the Warriors, really close game. He had about 4 shots of field goal.
Mm.
He missed all of them.
Yeah.
Wasn't hitting them well. But when someone needed to take a 5th shot at field goal, Reece Walsh went, I want it to be me.
Yeah.
I want the ball in my hands.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about him. He's going to make his mistakes. I have no doubt he's going to make mistakes on Wednesday night. But he's never going to stop coming at you.
Mm.
I'm so excited to see how he goes.
Yeah, it's such a interesting situation with Walsh, because if there's one arena where one mistake can literally cost you the game, it's Origin Arena. And I wonder what Billy Slater is saying to him to try to balance out that crazy just attack. Because if there's one fullback that can relate to Walsh, it's Billy Slater. Like, that's what he was. Attack. Never just fall, dive on a ball. Always sprint full speed. Try to pick it up and break the line. So it is. I will say, if the Queensland forwards can dominate and give like good field position, quick play the balls, I think he's going to cause havoc on your edges.
That's what really worries me. Mate, when we saw Payne Haas go down the other night, I just had flashes to Reece Walsh just getting on the front foot and just cutting us to pieces straight away. If your pack, which I personally think form-wise, your pack's going better than ours is at the moment, like guys you're leaving out like Corey Horsburgh and them, I really do... Jesus. I think it could take Reece Walsh a long way. Timmy? Something.
Yeah. Queensland... who I despise with all my life when it comes to State of Origin time, like all passionate Blues supporters, they've always had this number one spot that ties in 3 of my favourite players of all time to watch, and it's KP, Reece Walsh, Billy Slater, and I can't not like them. I love them so much at club level. The brand of footy they play, it's a combination, like everyone loves a player with speed because they're exciting to watch. For me, it's cool. Like, there's a lot of fast players in their game, whatever. But when it's the combination of having that speed and being able to ball play at an elite level at that pace, that's where I just sit back and go, I love watching that footy. That's as good as it gets for me, and that's what Reece Walsh has. So between him, KP, and Billy Slater over the years, it's hard to get into this arena and like wanting so desperately for Reece Walsh to go well at the top tier of our game and hopefully in future for Australia, but wanting him to go so bad as a Blues supporter.
Yeah.
But... I mean, that's the question mark, isn't it? What Reece Walsh could single-handedly win you this game, or, you know, looking very glass half empty, he could lose you this game because he's going into an arena that we haven't seen him in. So how's he going to perform? I'm with you, boys. He'll be fine. He's a star, but even every star in their first few games on the big stage, it can take time. You know, it's a big arena. How will he handle the hype? It's very exciting.
But at the same time, he also is the same sort of kid that we could be sitting here. I could be sitting there at 10 PM Wednesday night going, fuck, another one that's just made for Origin.
Yeah, those big moments, big plays. You know, like Soan Cobbo just comes in and has that, you know, outside of that play, some good runs, handle the physicality of it. But just that one play where he dummies, then drops the ball to his foot, grubbers inside on debut. Like, that's a big moment.
There's some guys that get picked for Origin sometimes, and I think, Jesus, the stage is going to be too big for them. As much as Walsh might make mistakes, I don't think the stage will be too big for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to attack the game. Again, the glass half empty look is just that error. But I tell you what, if he... if he finds that perfect balance between, you know, attack, Origin is a game where if you've got players that can create space and break tackles or even create moments that don't exist, like that's game changer stuff. It's so hard to find in Origin because there is no space for anything.
Yeah.
And Reece is the guy that, at least at Clubland, we don't know at NRL land, he creates space.
And what excites me and terrifies me as New South Welshman regarding Walsh is we know the style of football that Billy Slater was, and he won't want to put any doubts in Reece Walsh's mind. Like we see him probably at times attack a little bit too much at club level and it can lead to errors. And you think, oh, maybe he goes and says, mate, still attack, but just, you know, maybe rein in a little bit. Billy Slater's not going to say that. Billy Slater's going, mate, go all in. You see an opportunity, you take it.
Mm.
Because that's what Billy would have done. That's what Reece Walsh is going to do, and we'll see how it pays off.
And that's what scares me about Reece Walsh getting selected is that Billy had the option to play it safe and go with KP.
Mm.
Billy had the option to pick a guy that, one, he knows he can get the best out of, two, he's played Origin football with, and he's decided to go down the Reece Walsh avenue. Billy Slater, who's forgotten more about Origin than I know, must be confident in this kid to do a job.
Man, it's so interesting because then you go, on the flip side, Tedesco is a guy that's going to take hit-ups off the ruck. He's going to be constantly around the ruck, sneaking, sneakily, I guess. He's so good at guarding where he is, so you don't actually know where he's going to pop up. When you're a defensive side looking at the ruck, sometimes fullbacks make it super obvious as to where they are, where they plan to be. Whereas Tedesco is so erratic and his footwork is so good that his first 10 minutes, like his top speed is not that impressive. But his first 10 metres is, or even first 5 metres, yeah, is electric. And so that's where, when you look at your forward pack, Payne Haas has an offload. Tuita Pangai Jr. definitely has an offload. Paolo definitely has an offload. You start to go, maybe there is a game plan being created around the ruck with Tedesco just off the back of those boys, just constantly, and then just on front foot footy. And so that's where you see Tedesco. He's still got the silkiness of ball playing. I would argue Walsh is a silkier ball player, but around the ruck, in regards to work rate, I say Tedesco's got the win there.
And that will be the game plan, mate. It'll be 2021. Obviously now with Latrell out, it takes away from it a little bit, but it'll be having Tommy as that second roaming fullback and James Tedesco and all these lightning quick plays around. Even Damien Cook back in 2021 where we saw the offload and he'd get and just take off. It'll be looking for that second phase play and Teddy be ready to go when it does.
Where do you see Teddy? I mean, the obvious answer, we've seen it so much. Where do you see Teddy injecting himself and how?
Yeah, I think through the middle. When we were watching them train the other day, Tedesco is just everywhere on every single play. Wherever the ball is, he is next to it. He must be such a fit human being.
Mm.
It's just insane.
Especially for the muscle mass he carries. He's pretty big.
His torso is huge. Mm. His core must be off the charts.
It's similar with Minicello, like they were gymnasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they just had this crazy pound for pound strength. Tedesco's literally right up there.
I think, you know, the obvious one with Teddy though is that, you know, no matter what big stage it is in rugby league, experience always matters.
Mm.
And no one's got more of it than Teddy.
Mm. It's going to be, yeah, cannot wait for this matchup. Cannot wait. Teddy versus Walsh, game one, Adelaide. Now onto the wingers. Any more to add on the fullbacks there, boys? Onto the wingers. You've got Toa and Adokar versus Cobbo and Tuolungi. So do we have – so Cobbo will be on the left against Carr?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so we'll go Cobbo versus Carr. Adokar, 7 games, 6 tries, 0 try assists, 23 tackle breaks, 4 line breaks, 85% tackle efficiency, 116 average metres.
Sorry, I think Cobbo will be on the right, actually.
I've got Cobbo right.
Yeah, I think he'll be on the right.
Cobbo right and Toa left.
Okay,
yep.
So we'll do Adokar versus Tuolungi. So Tuolungi, 10 games, 2 tries, 1 try assist, 16 tackle breaks, 9 line breaks, 72% tackle efficiency, 141 metres. I've got to say, I actually thought Tuolungi has played less games than that. And that's no disrespect to Tuolungi. I actually think he's been quiet this year. Addo Carr, we all know what he can do at the Origin level. How do you see this battle playing out?
Yeah, I think with Murray, first of all, like, I'm the same. I didn't expect him to play 10 games. I think he has been quiet. But I also think, like, when you're not a winger like Brian Toto that's known for running for 220 metres, and he's not that sort of a winger, and that's okay. When your team's going as poorly and they're as dysfunctional as the Cowboys, I don't know, it can be hard to judge. And to be honest with you, I probably haven't watched him as intently as Billy Slater has to know where his form is at exactly, just because the Cowboys have been going so poorly. But we'll get to the centre soon. I still would have picked Dane Gago. I didn't have Murray Taulagi in my side.
It's a huge opportunity for him to be one of those typical Queensland selections where a lot of people said, oh, he's a bit too quiet to be in there. And then he goes to Origin and he absolutely kills it. Because it feels like forever ago, but he was in the World Cup squad. That's how good he was last year. And his finishing ability, we talk about Reece Walsh and they're creating space and there's no space in Origin. Finishing-wise, he's one of the best finishers in the game, if not arguably the best finisher in the game. You go back and watch Tuolungi's highlights, some of his finishes are out of this world. And maybe Billy Slater is going the route of, I just need, you're big enough to do the big carries, but also that just someone can almost guarantee a finish if there's a millimetre of space there. And so maybe that's what he's looking at with Tuolungi. Timmy?
Yeah, I've actually got no reservations around Tuolungi being there. I think it's fine. And the reality is that the Cowboys have been terrible for the majority of this year. And when you're on a winger in a side that is struggling to go forward and getting beaten through the middle, there's not much you can do. You can't really have an impact on that game. You don't get put in try-scoring situations, and he hasn't. All right, sure, he could have been a bit better this year, but he's coming off a World Cup win on the wing for the Kangaroos. He'll slot into a Queensland team that will go forward. He'll get his opportunities. It'll be half a sniff, and I think there aren't too many better players that you'd give to finish off there. Statistically speaking, I think the thing that stands out for me most is that despite playing in a pretty ordinary Cowboys side this year, he's averaging 141 metres. Mm-hmm. It's pretty solid.
And nine line breaks.
So, yeah, not getting the tries, not the best stats, but I think he'll come in into a gun Queensland side and he'll be fine, and I don't think there's any query around that for me.
And in his defence as well, I think it's something we've spoken about all year, that we hate the way the Cowboys are using the left edge.
Mm-hmm.
Val Holmes constantly being he's running that over. Like, it hasn't made sense to me all year anyway.
Val runs that hard line, and even when they do hit Val, he's just running this rock hard line where he's not really looking to catch and tip on and beat him. He just runs hard.
Yeah.
So Tuolungi said the opportunities haven't been there.
And so Holmes has been moved to the other side though, which is really, really interesting why you keep Holmes and Tuolungi together. But we'll get to that. Now onto the Fox. I mean, what else is there to say? Like, just like Tedesco, he has been super consistent at Origin level. We were shocked when he wasn't in the side last year. And the Fox with a point to prove is a scary winger. One of the best wingers in the history of game, in my opinion.
The energy he was bringing to training the other day. I've never spent any time with Fox. But you always hear about how loud he is and everything he is. He did not shut up in the most positive way possible,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
I could not believe the energy he had throughout the entire session. It was like the energy he had about the most minor things that were happening. And you can tell it's infectious.
Yeah.
Other guys were just getting around him so much. It was unreal. He was having banter with them the entire time. And, you know, Freddie'd say, go to this corner, and he'd run there screaming. And it just turns the entire tone of what's going on, you know. And I was looking at them, and, you know, the Panthers boys, like, they enjoy themselves and everything, but they don't bring what Fox has. And we would have missed it so much last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to talk to the people in the camp and get their impression of – and, you know, that's what we see out in the field when there's a crowd there. Imagine what he's like around the hotel room or, you know, all that sort of stuff. I love everything about Fox. I could understand Freddie not picking him last year. I got it wrong 100%. I'm glad he's back in there.
Yeah, it's that you cannot express how important that intangible off-field quality that a guy like Fox brings, like the confidence, the energy heading into a game. I've spoken to, I guess, some people from the Origin camp last year. They did feel it was a bit subdued, a bit not as, I guess, energetic as the 2021 one, which is, it's easy to say now, look back on hindsight and be like, oh, here's a problem. Like, I think even though I personally would have chosen Fox, any reasonable person could understand why Freddie made the decision to go other players. Even if you disagree with it, you could be like, look, I get it, big body, a lot of meters, all that kind of stuff.
It's much like Fox to the Blues, guru to this panel. He might have shit takes. He might know a lot about footy. But he's a good bloke. He brings energy to the bar. He brings energy to the show. And
lightning
it's intangible. And lightning quick.
Yeah,
and,
lightning, it's intangible.
It's more than you see on face value.
You are the fox of the panel.
We wouldn't be what we are, Kempy, without Guru's
absolutely
energy.
No, I'm well aware. Don't worry. What I did notice the other day, though, at Blues training was as soon as Payne Haas went down, Matty, did you notice it? Josh Adokar almost took it upon himself to get louder and to be bouncing around more because you could tell there was a moment like, oh, shit, have we just lost our best front row forward? And he went to another level of skin. It's like he could sense what was happening in the room and knew that he could turn the gear up.
Yeah, he's just – it's so important. And, we don't need to speak about like, – look how well he played for Australia.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable for Australia. And, again, I feel like it's going to be the theme of the bloody show, but it's – Origin is about these small spaces that don't usually exist. Like, big spacing exists in NRL games because the standard isn't high. Origin is all about the little moments, just the tiny moments adding up to big moments. And Fox takes those little moments and then turns them into big ones. So I can't wait to see the...
Well, when we sat here last week, and the teams had just come out and I was a little bit... I think I was just disappointed for Campbell Graham that he didn't get picked in the starting side. And I can't remember, but I think I sort of leaned towards saying, yeah, I think Campbell Graham probably should have got that wing spot. The more I've looked into it, I'm more than happy Josh Adokar's there. And I think, you know, we'll get into the game plans and strategy that more and more, but I just think the Blues are going to try and emulate that 2021. I think they'll try and emulate that, the Manly Seagulls style attack where they play expansively, they give early ball, early spreads out of their own half. And that's where Fox's speed comes in. As you said, Kempy, give him an inch and he's gone and away and probably scores.
Yeah.
And I think that will be a lot of our game plan, and that's where you have Fox over Campbell Graham. So I'm really happy with the Adokar selection now. I'm stoked that he's there.
To'o versus Cobbo. To'o, 11 games. 5 tries, 1 try assist, 38 tackle breaks, 7 line breaks, tackle efficiency 86%, averaging 203 metres. Insane. Cobbo, 12 games, 9 tries, 0 try assists, 53 tackle breaks, 7 line breaks, 87% tackles and 163 average metres. I mean, those stats from Cobbo are pretty bloody amazing.
They're very impressive, aren't they?
To think that he has 53 tackle breaks compared to 38 of a To'o is pretty incredible. 9 tries compared to 5. I guess the argument, they've got equal line breaks. Obviously, To'o beats him in metres gained. The argument could be, if you checked Cobbo's error rate, it would probably be substantially more than To'o, but can you please check that for me, Matty? But I love the fact that we're going into a game with To'o, best ring in the comp probably right now.
Yep.
And yet, from a Queensland perspective, I think Cobbo's ceiling is probably higher.
Yeah, you said before if you were to do an error count, you know, Brian To'o would win that. But if there was a stat for just
something
doing
happening,
shit that you can't coach, Cobbo wins. As I said, we're up at Magic Round the other day and he took an intercept that I'm not sure if anyone else in the comp would have taken that intercept.
It's crazy.
It was going into the crowd. He managed to run it down in the air, get it, and then take it the distance.
Crazy. Yeah, so Cobbo's got the most errors in the NRL with 22 and To'o's on 9.
Yeah, so that is the risk you play. That's the gamble.
And then what? Walsh is like second or third, isn't he, Matty?
Walsh is equal third, yeah.
So like that's the scary bit is like errors can absolutely kill you in Origin, but also you can have these crazy moments, and it's just it's why the Broncos, when they kick into gear, they're the most exciting team ever to watch because they just go crazy, and you're going, what? This is... So unorthodox.
Yeah, and you talk about those moments. I mean, like where we were sitting for game one last year, watching Selwyn go down the sideline and drop it on his toe, like at full pace with the size he is to put in a little def kick like that, like he couldn't have, if he had another million shots of that, he couldn't have got it more right than what he did in that moment. That's what Origin's about, getting it right in that moment.
Yep. But in regards to game plan, I actually think they'll probably play a similar role. Like, I think Cobbo will be relied on to take a lot of the tough carries for the back three because he's the big boy in the back three. Well, Tuolungi is big too, but I think Cobbo is probably, they're going to need
he's
him.
He's the yardage man.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be what To'o is to
and
New South Wales.
You're not going to kick to either of those two.
No.
And also that's where having a, you know, between Tuolungi and Walsh, a bit smaller in the back three. It's where Val will come in as well. He'll run for 200 metres and be so big for yardage.
Yeah, absolutely. Now on to the centres. Crichton and Turbo versus Val and Hamiso. So it'll essentially be Crichton up against Val, we think, because that, now that may change because Latrell is no longer there. So maybe they go, let's put Hamiso on Critter and let's put Holmes, because my thinking is they moved Holmes to do a job on Trell, to try to do a job on Trell.
I think you're right, because I was surprised when you boys said, that they were actually on opposite edges, but a big part of that must have been the Trell matchup.
And well, it could be the opposite, though, because Hamiso did do a job on Tommy Trbojevic in his debut. So maybe that's why he got moved, because Hamiso to mark Tommy.
Do you think Slater's picking his teams based on the New South Wales side, though? I'm not sure if he would be.
I think we'd have some say. Yeah. I think we'd have some say, especially with those two players, Trell and Tommy. They're too good to ignore and just go, no, we're just worried about our game.
That Trell, I mean, it's redundant now while he's not playing, but the Trell on Hamiso, I know he did a job on Turbo, but that was like the matchup to target for the New South Wales Blues. So I could see why they flipped that around. Mm.
But and I know it's not going to happen now either, but I think at the same time, I think Queensland would have been excited for that matchup. Getting it, like the way that Latrell moves laterally, to have Reece Walsh and to have Hamiso coming down that edge, if you put him in the right spots, that was a spot that I was worried about.
Yeah.
And I thought it had more to do with putting Hamiso on Latrell for his sheer pace to try and beat them that way.
But they ended up there, so they put Holmes on Latrell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if they make that move and they pull Holmes across to Tommy and they put Hamiso on Critter.
Because as much as you're screwing up how you've been training, you're putting guys on there better. Like you're putting Val on his edge.
On his edge, yeah. Yeah. It'll be really interesting to see how they run out. Really interesting. Okay, so as for now, we'll say Critter versus Val. Critter, 11 games, 6 tries, 3 try assists, 35 tackle breaks, 4 line breaks, 89% tackle efficiency, 121 metres. Val, 12 games, 3 tries, 3 try assists, 53 tackle breaks, 6 line breaks, 77% tackle efficiency, 170 average metres. Look, I think that Critter's defence is outstanding at 89% for a centre. But you'd have to say Val in a team that's going that poorly is probably, I guess, he can step up even more when he gets around a good team. So you may see an even bigger jump. I mean, we saw it like when he played last year and then whenever he does play Origin. But this is a matchup that went from, oh my God, Latrell Mitchell, to, oh my God, there's a chance. Now, Critter could win the battle, but there's a chance that Val may win the battle.
Isn't it amazing? Like, we've got 4 centres there in Origin, if you include Latrell, who was the 5th. None of them are being picked in the position they play at Clubland or on the side they play in Clubland. Like, even the centres are getting picked on the opposite side to what they usually play.
Yeah, yeah. That's weird. That is weird. How do you see this battle playing out, Critter versus Val?
I find Critter so hard to analyse. What he's doing. As you said, his last 4 weeks have been amazing. Defensively before that, he was in a little bit of trouble. I don't know which to focus too heavily on. Do you think that Freddie's had a conversation with him in the last 4 weeks?
Yeah, for sure.
It seems like a
for
sudden sure. thing that all of a sudden just changed.
His aggression went through the roof.
Yeah, straight away.
Line speed, shooting out, whacking blokes.
He stopped intercepting. I haven't seen him go for an intercept for a while.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's a matchup I'm looking forward to. I'd be playing Val on the left. I really would. I don't really get swapping them over. Doesn't make a heap of sense to me.
As in, you'd be playing him on Tommy?
Yeah, I'd be playing him at left centre where he plays.
Even though Hamiso did a good job on Tommy when he played in 2021 game 3?
Yeah, no, there's that argument there. I just wouldn't be moving Val out. Like, instead of playing one guy out of position, you're playing two guys out of positions now.
Could he be playing out of position for club? Is there
thought about it from that angle? Yeah, maybe.
And maybe this is actually his preferred side. So if he's been moved to the left side, correct?
Yep.
So maybe he's actually a left hand carry, right hand fan, maybe.
Maybe.
Or defensively, maybe he's a right, like he's a right shoulder is stronger, and he'd rather defend.
Which edge was Val on when he won the comp for the Sharkies? Was he left or right? Was he right outside?
I think he was right. And was he a wing?
He was a winger.
Yeah, I think it was right.
Barber was at fullback, yeah.
Do you remember who the other winger was?
Fecky?
Jared Beal.
Fecky.
Oh, Beal, come off the bench.
he did come off the bench that night, Beal, yeah.
I can't wait for this matchup. Critter versus Val. Wow. Dally M centers versus each other. That's exciting.
I think both teams are going to really fancy their opportunities here. Mm. Val is, I think, the best, well, without doubt, the best defensive center of those four. But as it stands, he's also on the right edge of DC, Tommy Gilbert, and Cobbo, where I think the Blues will fancy themselves. Mm. So they'll be going at him. You look at Tommy Turbo, completely playing out of position. Was caught out a few times in the past, playing centre at origin level. Hamiso's playing out of position. What, very few footy, a little bit of footy at centre, but he's still out of position.
Yeah.
Critter, who we spoke about his defence at times. I think both sides will look at opportunities here and be throwing a lot of footy at these guys, getting them to make decisions.
I reckon New South Wales would probably be a little bit more confident because the form of Critter coming into this defensively has been outstanding, whereas Val Holmes' defence in his last game was like, you know, really, really not great.
Val's D this season actually hasn't been that good by his standards, but you just know getting to Origin, Val will be 100%.
That's sweet. Mate, cannot wait for this battle. Now, the next battle. Turbo, 10 games, 8 tries. I mean, that... The fact that he has 8 tries and we've been saying he's had not a terrible season, but a very quiet season for his standard. 8 tries, 7 tries, 37 tackles, 7 line breaks, 73% tackle efficiency, 191 metres. That is him on a one leg.
And, you know, if someone said to you he's been terrible, it's probably not a hill I would die on to say don't call him terrible.
Mm.
You know, by his standards. By his standards.
By a normal fullback standards, he's been solid.
These numbers are wild.
To be fair, 3 tries, 4 try assists, 34 tackle breaks and 6 line breaks against the Raiders last week. So it's skewed a little bit.
But it's still incredible. And that's what some people try to send. Well, didn't try. They did send through. So they're like, well, statistically, he's actually doing better than X years. And this is such a perfect example of like stats aren't the be all and end all. Because anyone that watched Turbo play can show that he's not at 100%. Obviously, against the Raiders, he was playing at 100%. He was unbelievable. But that's scary to think. If he is clicking into gear now, and that's what he's done with one leg, what is he going to do with 2 legs?
Well, that was... Like, me and Matty were talking the other day, watching him train and the way he was getting around, and we were just saying, if you had no idea what had happened in the last 2 months, you would think it was 2021 Turbo, what was standing in front of us.
Yeah, wow. Fuck.
it's the one, yeah. I'm just so glad we've got him.
Seriously, unbelievable. All right, Hamiso. Now, these are fullback stats, so is Tommy, so I guess it's an even comparison. 11 games, 10 tries, 3 tries, 42 tackle breaks, 5 line breaks, 87% tackle efficiency, 142 metres. Now, obviously, Tommy has proven himself at Origin and he's a special, special player, and you'd favour Tommy in this battle. But Hamiso has that magic about him. He does have magic, and he's not a player that I look at and go, there is no way that he comes out of this battle on top. There is a small percentage of me that goes, maybe he does. Like, honestly, I reckon we haven't even seen Hamiso at full pace in the NRL. That's what it feels like. Mm. That we literally haven't seen him hit full pace. Now, you can see that as a bad thing or whatever, but what I'm saying is like, I still think there's another gear or two in Hamiso. How do you see this battle playing out?
Scares the shit out of me knowing that Hamiso is going to be on Munster's edge. That really, really worries me.
Because they have magic. They just got this weird... You don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly right. And I also feel with Hamiso, like, you know, he's been incredible this year, but the reality is the halves he's been playing with has been a teenager and a multitude of 3 or 4 other guys. Like, once he gets a genuine ball player like Munster on the big stages like this, we've seen what money can do in the Origin Arena. I'm very scared of Hamiso. And here's me 6 months ago saying, I don't even think he's a fullback.
Mate, I was with you. Yeah. I didn't even know what position he was. And then he comes out and is part of it's seriously one of the most incredible stories in rugby league. This Dolphins, we're living in it. And if they make the finals, we'll celebrate it. It won't be until 5 to 6 years' time when we look back and go, that was arguably one of the greatest things we've ever got to witness in rugby league. And he's been the focal point of it.
Start of this season, I did not think there was a hope in hell he'd be playing Origin.
Yeah, wow.
And then 6 weeks ago, I'm arguing with him about why I think he should be in the side.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It's incredible. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I think he'll with the way Queensland will play, it'll be like quite a high completion, high percentage type of footy, the way they always do, through the middle. Spend a bit of time roaming in around the ruck, just looking for a bit of second phase play. It'd make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Him and Reece Walsh sniffing around the ruck. So my question to you, Kempy, is a genuine question. I'm not entirely sure. How do you feel about him defensively coming into this game? He's played a bit of centre for the Cowboys and at club level, not a lot. Was terrific in what, one game there a couple of years ago, and did a great job in Tommy, but it was one game. Are you nervous? Are you confident?
I'm definitely nervous about Hamiso and defence. But as I said, there are NRL players and then there's this step above NRL players. And I think Hamiso fits that category. And he may not have proven it over a long period of time yet, but it's like the point I was making in regards to, I didn't even think we've seen him hit top speed. And so when you, you know, when you see, okay, you see a team and they've got a halfback or a six and they're just good solid sixes or sevens, and then a veteran who everyone reckons their career is over, done, comes into that team. We've seen it with Chad Townsend. We've seen it Adam Reynolds. Now, I'm not saying that they're on the same superstar level, maybe Adam Reynolds, as Hamiso, but there is this like levels within levels kind of thing. And I think Hamiso fits on that pedigree of a super, super special player. And super special players step up to the moments. And so I think Hamiso will step up to the moment. But I am nervous in regards to if he is marking Tommy, because even the best centre in the game could have troubles with marking Tom Trbojevic.
It's the other thing that, you know, worries me about Hamiso as a New South Wales fan is that, you know, he's had the last 20 weeks getting backed in completely by Wayne Bennett, and then Billy Slater rings him and says, I'm picking you over Dane Gagai. Like, his confidence would just be sky high at the moment. And I agree with you. He doesn't have the resume to back up that he's an Origin player, but I get very early vibes that he is.
He just got that – there's something special about him. He just makes things happen. They just seem to happen around him. He seems to be in the right position. He seems to be faster than everyone. He seems to be able to handle the physicality of it all. Like, for example, if that wasn't a dead rubber and that was to win the series in Game 3, 2021 – we'd be talking about it as one of the best debuts ever. If he, let's say the game was 1-1, Tommy still had the same series that he had, and then he shut down Tommy in that last game, we'd be talking Hamiso-like. But it was because it's a dead rubber, so no one really remembers it.
Well, how are Hamiso's stocks going to go if we're sitting here in 6-8 weeks at the end of the series, and he went from last season being unable to crack an NRL starting 13, and, you know, those circumstances, Drinker was killing it at fullback, there wasn't a spot for him, whatever. Really good Cowboys team that just weren't losing. And he comes in now, kills it at the Dolphins at fullback. If he comes in, Queensland with the series, and he's done a job on Tommy Trbojevic at centre, his stocks will be like, just as you said,
infinite.
This bloke is unbelievable.
Yeah. I also think that, especially now with Latrell, like I'm imagining Hamiso marking Tommy Turbo for 80 minutes, which, you know, technically will be, but like I wonder how much time Turbo's going to spend sitting at right centre, going one on one.
Especially with Trell out.
Especially with Trell out now, I think he'll be roaming a lot more than what we're anticipating.
We'll talk about Turbo. We already spoke a little bit, but yes, I'm nervous about Turbo. I am super nervous about Turbo. This is a guy that has been a lot of negative chat around him this year, a lot of doubting. The last thing you want to do as an opposition fan is doubt a superstar like Tom Trbojevic, because that gives them fire. They've already experienced everything, maybe outside of a premiership win. He's already done everything at Origin. He's played for his country. Sometimes, if you give them a reason to be great, they go and do just that. And Turbo has every reason to go out and be great. And that fucking scares me.
The highlight of my week so far has been watching Turbo through social media, hanging out with the guys, playing the music and dancing and singing. Turbo's just like, I just want to play footy. I just want to rip and tear on Wednesday night. I don't want anything in between. I find it so entertaining to watch him just navigate his way through this squad. That's a lot of high energy guys that we need it, but he's just there for business, isn't he, Turbo?
Oh, mate. If he didn't have a fire in his belly 2 years ago, imagine the fire in his belly now. All the doubters, everyone saying he's done. And we also doubt, I'll speak for me, I won't speak for you boys, but I doubted whether he should be selected. Now, I always just wanted one good game out of him, but I doubted whether he should get more time to get his body right or whatever. So even people that are number one fans of Tom Trbojevic and think he is incredible on the field and off the field had doubts. He's heading into this Origin with the biggest chip on his shoulder and the most talent. It is the worst mixture that you can have as an opposition.
I wouldn't have picked him 3 weeks ago. Happy to admit it. And I look back now and go, what on earth were you talking about? And
you're basing it on fitness levels, and it wasn't there on what we saw.
Yeah, and you know, and like, there's been a lot of chat around Turbo. Is he carrying an injury? What's going on? And you know, there's been a little bit of chat that he has just changed the way that he's been running and whatnot. And watching him train the other day, and watching him against Canberra, I wonder if he's just gone, fuck it, I'm just going all in again. I wonder if he's been injured or if he's been holding himself back.
I reckon he's been holding himself back.
Yeah.
And then I reckon that he's had a conversation with whoever and said, I just can't play like this anymore. I can't do this anymore. It's not happy. It's not fun. I don't enjoy it. If it's going to go, it's going to go. So just give me the chance to go out on my own terms rather than this weird middle ground where everyone's talking about my injuries and whether I'm 80% or 100%. How do you see Tommy impact the game, Timmy?
Yeah, well, for anyone who listens to me on this podcast and gets sick of me talking about roaming centres, it all stems back to Tommy Trbojevic's 2021 Origin playing centre and the way he just jumps around the park. Mm. And it just makes me so happy. And I thought that had reinvented the wheel in the way that I thought probably coaches would have taken upon him more to get centres doing this. And it's happened in bits and pieces in the NRL, and we see it from time to time. I think when we do, it's very effective. But Tommy Turbo at centre, the way he plays that role that I've never seen anyone else play it in my life, it's something to behold. And it's been a few years since we have seen it. I can't wait. It's like, you don't just stick on the edge, mate. You're essentially a second fullback playing centre. You pop up wherever you want, whenever you want. And it must be terrifying for you because Jesus excites me.
I can just see him. I just, you know, couple of tied forwards, couple of lazy efforts, and boom, he's straight through. And then you're just like, fuck, there goes the game. The game, you know, two tries in the space of 10 minutes or something like that, and you're going, oh my God.
Well, they're him and Teddy, like we saw last in 2021. Them two roaming around the right. There's half a sniff, someone goes through, Teddy gets the line break, Turbo's backing up.
Yeah, and you're just going far out. Yeah. Like, it's just almost impossible to stop. I mean, 2021, Teddy took the first hit up, Tom took the second one, and then I think Teddy took the third. And I think Tom Trbojevic bumped Tino Fasu'umalawi. And so you're like, how is that even fair? How is that fair? A dude that big and fast can bump our biggest player. It's just, anyway, it's scary, scary stuff. Now onto the 5-8s. Luai, 11 games, one try, four line breaks, one forced dropout, six try assists, eight line break assists, 92% tackle efficiency, 94 average metres. Munster, 9 games, 6 tries, 8 line breaks, 3 forced dropouts, 5 try assists, 2 line break assists, 84% tackle, 133 average metres. I will say none of those stats really surprised me that much, except for the 92% tackle efficiency. That is actually really, really impressive and probably a part of Luai's game that clearly doesn't get enough appreciation.
Completely agree. Mm. Yeah, I think defensively he's a very good 5-8. Isn't it funny with Munster? Like, I don't even care what those numbers.
His stats are irrelevant.
I don't care. Couldn't care less what his stats are. It doesn't matter. He's an Origin player. He's just born to play in this arena.
Mm. This is the one. Look, the positive for New South Wales in this situation is you don't need Luai to be the man.
Yep.
You don't need him to do what Munster does. You've got enough guys, key players in key positions. So it's a bit of a strange matchup because on the flip side, Queensland need Munster to be the man. Now, that's under the impression that we don't know what's going to happen with Reece Walsh. Now, Reece Walsh could come out and become the man. But right now, if there's one guy Queensland need to be the man, it's Munster. And so these two comparing, they're just not the same. They don't play the same roles in their side, so it's very hard to compare like a versus battle. It's almost better off to compare. It's just hard because like DC versus Cleary does make sense, but the Munster Luai, they just play such different roles.
You could have deleted all those stats and under Luai written Cleary's halves partner, and under Munster just written Origin player. Would have made more sense.
Like, you're talking about them as isolated players as opposed to comparison
and how they fit into their side.
In their side, the role that they play. You know, New South Wales don't need Luai. I mean, it would be great if he comes out and has this huge Origin moment, then that's bloody awesome. But I just don't think that that's the style of footy that they play. I don't think that's the point. That's not the tip of the spear for them. The tip of the spear is Teddy, Tommy, Cleary to a degree, whereas Munster has to be the tip of the spear at the
moment. Which, realistically, like, that's Jerome Luai's position at club level too.
For sure. Yeah,
like he's a role player. He's not a role player, but like they constantly change around who is on that left edge, and he just makes it work with whatever he's given. And it's the Clearys the Yos, the Edwards that we're always going to talk about, the Tyos, mm. these sort of guys. I think the biggest thing for me about Luan, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, like him, don't like him, whatever, he's a winner.
Mm.
He wins time and time again.
Mm.
Yeah, the biggest part around Luai, where sort of spoke a bit about, and I'm like, oh, I'd probably would have lent towards going Nicho Hynes to 5'8", but when all the press was on Nicho to 5'8" for the Blues and Luai, you know, has he done enough to get picked or not? Probably not this season. And then the 2-3 games leading to Origin, bullshit, that's my spot. And he stood up and was outstanding for the Panthers.
Mm.
And that's what you want to see. You want to see your incumbent go, no, like, you're going to have to do more than that to take my spot there. Mm. And as Guru said, he stepped up time and time again at finals football for the Panthers, did it at the World Cup for Samoa. He's been solid enough in the Origin arena. So it's like, the more you look at it, he deserves his crack.
And I think it's really unfair with a guy like Jerome Luan. I think he's the main one that all of a sudden 2021 didn't happen, or it didn't exist, yeah. or it doesn't count.
It was his debut
record.
Year.
Yeah, and yeah, they won by a lot, but I'll give you the hot tip. Halves play a role in teams winning by a lot.
Well, I think he had 2 tries.
When was the last time you heard someone talk about it?
I know.
It's weird how we just put a line through 2021, rules, whatever. Both teams are playing under the same rules.
Well, everyone talks about 2020 because of the loss and like, oh, worst team in 40 years, blah, blah, blah. But no one talks about the following year of the record win. You know what I mean? Yeah. It is, it's very strange that people forget that, you know, Luai was a part of that. Munster is in such an interesting position because he is – now, maybe he already was this to the real nitty-gritty rugby league fan. He was already a big game player. But now, Munster is considered a big game player to anyone that watches rugby league. That is a lot of expectation. And that is in the same... He has the same amount of expectation, or not at the same amount, but it is comparable to like Cam Smith, Thurston, Lockie, because when they were coming through, everyone was like, Cam Smith, you better fucking play. Like Queensland was like, it's your job to get us the win. Jonathan Thurston, it is your job to get us a win. Darren Lockhart, it is your job. Munster is that guy now. It is his job to get Queensland the win, and he couldn't be any more different than those three blokes. Like Thurston, Lockie, Smithy, they're different characters. So it is going to be interesting. I do think this is the first Origin he's going into. Maybe last year's, you could say, he went into as well. But this is truly... He must play well, otherwise it's a bad game for him.
I think last year he was in a pretty similar boat, and I agree with you. Like, he is that guy, whether he wants to be or not. I personally think he does want to be. I think he loves being that guy, but he's got no choice. He has to be that guy.
He has to be. Can't wait. Now, Cleary versus DCE. So Cleary actually came out DCE came out and said, I'm not too proud to admit that it is Cleary's Australian jersey, but I would love to get it back. I love the honesty. I just love the honesty. But Cleary, 11 games, 3 tries, 4 line breaks, 11 forced dropouts, 6 try assists, 7 line break assists, 89% tackle efficiency, 132 average meters. DCE, 11 games, 5 tries, 1 line break, 7 forced dropouts, 9 try assists, 6 line break assists, 91% tackle efficiency, 87 average meters. I think that DCE and Cleary, like statistically, it's not irrelevant, but it's just they're halves. Very halves do things that can't really be measured. So they are the key of leading their team around. Like, how do you measure field position? How do you measure setting up for a shot that end? You know what I mean? You can't measure that. But I will say, in this battle, I think Cleary is. We talk about chips on our shoulder. I think he is not furious, but he is going in this game going, never again am I getting outplayed by DCE. Mm. I genuinely think he feels like, never again am I going to let what happened in 2022 and 2020 by DCE. I need to become the best seven in Origin.
And it's not like DCE outplayed him because he's a better footballer. He's got more talent. It was just between the ears.
Experience.
It was knowing to kick early, knowing when to kick to spot. All those little things that, as you said, you don't have a stat for that stuff.
You just don't.
Just turning them around, leading your kick chase, and just getting there. Whereas, you know, Nate's got just all the ability you could possibly... Like, even when you look at those stats, like, the one thing that, you know, stands out for me is the 89% tackle efficiency. DCE's got 91. The difference is when DCE misses a tackle, it doesn't go down, it's a missed.
Mm.
Whereas Nate... I think he's one of the best defensive halves we've ever seen.
mate, he jams blokes.
Jams them. He doesn't make poor decisions. I think that, and I think to be fair to DC, I think he has been better this year than what he has been. Like, I remember sitting here game one last year going, beautiful. We're going to go with DC all day.
Yeah.
I feel like he has been better this year, but I think that tackle efficiency between the two of them is very misleading.
Yeah, and for people listening on, what do you mean by that? It means like, if you just completely miss the tackle, it doesn't really, you don't miss the tackle. So if they just go straight to the line and you don't touch them, it doesn't count as a missed tackle. It's more falling off things.
And there would also be a lot of missed tackles that should go to DCA that normally fall the way of Olakau'atu, Kola, those sort of guys.
I think he's been much better this year, DCE. I think he's really, it's probably like the one part of his game that he's really improved over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Because there's a period there where I did feel defensively he was, I wouldn't say a liability, but it was a concern, that edge. I will say though, with the edge that they look like they're running out, which is DCE, Holmes,
Gilbert,
Tuolangi.
Cobbo.
Cobbo does have a brain explosion in him. Gilbert, yes, he played Origin at, you know, on the edge, but for club he's played 13. That's probably the side they're going to be coming at.
And that's, I think, as well, as we're talking about with DC and his defence, I think that it could prove to be an issue because he does defend differently to other halves in this competition. He is, and that's right, I think if Felice Kaufusi was available, at least you would have the guy there that has been there before and understands what he's like defensively. Mm. That's right, I think it is going to be a big test that you've got a couple of guys that haven't really defended together before.
Yeah.
Coming up against, you know, your Jerome Lewis, your Critters, these sort of guys. Hudson Young, who's got attacking upside as well. Yeah, it'll be a challenge.
Big, big challenge. I think from a New South Wales perspective, Cleary, watching that game against the Broncos, it must just make you so excited. The fact that just before Origin, you could see a game where his normal game plan got shut down. Mid-game, he just completely changed the way he played. He ended up running for 27 runs, over 200 metres. But that is that's the boon you get from experience. Like playing more rugby league and understanding that, okay, if your game plan isn't going well or they're getting shut, they know what's going on, they're shutting it down, you need a plan B, you need a plan C. And I think that Cleary coming into this year, he has plan B, C, whatever. He's got as many plans as you need to get it done. And that's what's scary with Cleary this year.
It's interesting that game against the Broncos you're talking about, like Mosley-Otter dropped a ball over the line that Cleary would put him over for. Mitch Kenny dropped a ball that he would have put him over for. All of a sudden, if he would have finished that game with another two tries to his name, as much stupid as it sounds, another 60 Supercoach points next to his name, we're all talking about him a lot more. Like, I thought that game against the Broncos was like a 9, 10 out of 10 performance for him.
So good.
But other guys just let him down slightly in key moments that I think it didn't get as much hype off the back of it as it should.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I just loved the fact that not only did he have those, you know, moments that were drop balls or whatever in regards to other people dropping his try assist, just the fact that he completely changed the way he played. And if you go back and watch that 2020 grand final against the Storm, they just rattled him.
Yep.
Like, it was a Cam Smith special. Like, you know, we've been around for a while. We know how to rattle young halves. We have a similar-ish half in Cooper Cronk, so we know what upsets him. It's taking game plans out of his hands. But I just think that this version of Cleary, he's ready for nearly anything.
Which is exactly what DCE's done the last 2 years. He's gone, sweet, I'm not going to let you get comfortable. I'm going to kick over your head every single time. You're going to be on the back foot all day.
Yeah. And I'm not going to get you the field position, the rhythm. Because that Penrith game is all just about rhythm. It's just
I'll kick on third. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Sweet.
What do you reckon, Timmy?
Yeah, that's where these two will be measured, boys, is the kicking game, won't it? Two blokes who will do the vast majority of the kicking for their sides. Two blokes who have won countless games of footy at all levels over the years off their own boot. So when we come out of this series, when we will come out of the series saying who had the better kicking game, there's every chance that whoever the answer to that is, their side's won the series. So again, like those two, you get to the end of the series going, haven't scored a try, you know, actually wasn't a try assist. But if they've been dominant with the boot, both long and short kicking, that'll tell the story.
Yeah, it's I can't wait for this. What an interesting, you've got this young fella that's got all these accolades, that's waiting for his Origin moment, and then you've got the older guy who, it's almost his redemption arc to a degree in Origin. You know, made it in Origin, got dropped from Origin, has come back, has won the hearts back of Queenslanders, you know, the for many a year, Queenslanders were off him because of the Titan situation or whatever. And yet, after the 2020 and 2022 series, a lot of Queenslanders, you know, have.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
They love DCE now. They love DCE. So it's such a different path that both players are taking.
I'll just say this too. You mentioned, and so did Tim, about how like their kicking games will define them. Just keep in mind this game's played at Adelaide Oval.
Mm.
Yeah. Now we know, you know, history tells us that when you play on fields like this, because it's not a square stadium, it changes the dimensions a little bit. It can quite often really test kickers. Games you've seen at the SCG, and even at the SCG when you go, like you say, you go and watch games at the SCG, the Roosters played the last 2 years, and quite often it's away teams that come there and their kicking game can really struggle on those fields. Now, the Blues trained at out there at Homebush on Sunday night. I imagine they're arriving in Adelaide today, so they're not going to get a stack of time down there as well. It's something that I've noticed over the years that kickers can really struggle sometimes on fields like this because it changes the dimensions of everything.
Mm. Yeah, and also Matty Johns reckons that it's just a different environment there. Like it's a very slippery kind of ball, so it's going to be interesting to see how that affects the kicking as well.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.